This morning, our Lord willing, it's always important to add that to our plans. But we're going to dwell for a time in God's house. And you know, that's the house where wisdom and prudence live. And we're going to receive in that house instruction from the house owner. For in that house we find many, many proverbs given to us that we may know the way of life. Aren't you glad that you know the way of life? You know, if you could close your eyes and be able to see the stumbling about of people of this world who do not know the way of life, you would see most people stumbling. But God is so good to provide light, that our way may be bright, and that upon this way we may not stumble. Oh, God is so good to us to give us light. Don't you love light? You know, you get up in the middle of the night and everything is dark and you stumble. But you have that little light in the corner, perhaps plugged in the wall, and that wall gives you the light to make it to where you want to go. But He gives us light that we may remain upright upon that way, as we are given two proverbs found in God's holy book and numbered in Proverbs 6, 23 and 24. You know, if I suggest that you read the book of Proverbs regularly, my, how we need the wisdom of God's word that we may walk upon that way. But in these proverbs, we're told, "For the commandment is a lamp, and the law is light, and reproofs of instruction are the way of life, to keep thee from the evil woman, from the flattery of the tongue of a strange woman." Now, I wrote in capital letters in my lesson right here to let that soak in. I remember that coming from the lips of my mother as she gave me instructions, "Little boy, let that soak in." Now, that means absorb that truth. Take that truth as part of your way of life. Let that soak in. Now, introducing these thoughts, three prior proverbs tell us of the admonition by a father to his son to keep his commandment, to forsake not the law of his mother. Mothers, do you have law in the household? Do you have a time where you put your fist on the table and say, "That's because I said it"? And you give no reason, but you have law and you expect obedience from your children. That's godly home living. "Forsake not the law of his mother, to bind them without end upon his heart, tying them about his neck." Look at these phrases here, which cause you to think about how close these are in your son, in your daughter, "knowing that they shall lead him in sleep." In other words, even in your dreams will be governed by the knowledge of the commandments and the law of your parents. "When he is awake, and they shall even talk to him." Isn't that marvelous? Now, this passage then is a forerunner of the admonition given in Hebrews 10:38, which tells us the just shall live by faith. Now, that's an absolute. You know, when I took a course in college on contract law, I remember one thing only. Most of the things you learn in school, you don't remember, you don't keep. But some things you keep, and that is the word shall. Oh, it's a wonderful contract word because it's an absolute. The just shall live by faith. And God is saying here that I am arranging things in my universe that if you are just, you shall live by faith. I will make it so. And that includes a faith in the aforementioned Proverbs, which are the Word of God. Now, this not only means living eternally, but it means living day by day, day after day, by faith, which is what the message of this Proverbs Father requires. This is a daily walk. You don't park this walk by the side and go on a trip down another road and come back to this walk and resume it. This is a day by day, minute by minute, hour by hour walk. It is a life lived according to the Word of God on a daily basis, a life as a what? Doer of the Word, a doer of the Word. It is the way of life of a believer. You know, you can say you are a believer, but what makes you a believer is the doing of the Word of God. Believers do the Word of God. It is not the way of life of one who does not believe God. Those who have preached God's Word proclaim plainly that faith without works is dead, being alone. How often that word has been preached from this pulpit and from this dais right here. So faith is verified by action, by works. If there is faith, there will be works. If a seed is planted, grain will result. Flowers will bloom, trees will grow. Don't you count on it? My, how the acorns are falling from my live oak. I have a deck where every day the squirrels are covering the deck with acorns. And then I say to my wife, I've got to blow the deck off again because the squirrels have been busy. But all those acorns within them have life to produce a live oak tree. If a seed is planted, grain will result. If no grain shoots forth from the soil, if no flowers bloom, if no trees grow, then no seed was planted. You know, our God is a God of cause and effect. Faith and works are like sowing and reaping. One follows the other as surely as the sunset follows the sunrise. You know, you can count on that, and therefore you can count on faith producing works. Now, I believe one of the greatest works of faith has to do with the rearing of children. Let that soak in. The rearing of children, which this Proverbs father verifies by the preponderance of wisdom devoted to it. Faith and the rearing of children. You know, faith includes believing all of God's word about rearing children, not that part which makes you comfortable, but also that part of it that goes against the grain. You know, there are folks that love the Word of God, but sometimes they don't love the Word of God when it comes to some parts of the rearing of children. Well, that's not faith. A father and a mother who believe God's word about child rearing will rear their children in accordance with the word of God. Totally. Now, why did you bring a child into this world, if perchance you have children? Why did you bring that child into this world? That's a good question to ask. Well, I like little babies. Oh, they smile at me. I like them. I like to raise them. I like to see them crawl on the ground and so on and so on and so on. But was it for the glory of God or for the glory of men? Ask that question. If it was for the glory of men, go ahead and rear him or her according to the world. But if it was for the glory of God and for the conformance to the image of Christ, then rearing him or her in accordance with God's word is an absolute must. You know, you think about production of something, say like a car. Now, there are Buicks, there are Hondas, there are Hyundais, there are Kias, and there are even Chevrolets. Now, all of those cars had a different purpose, and they were made according to that purpose. And you would not take a Chevrolet part and put it in a Buick. Well, I guess they do, but you know the point. So there was a product that was envisioned at the end time of the production, and that product was to match its purpose. And the same thing happens with our children. Do you rear your child for the glory of God? Do you desire to exhibit your faith before men as a testimony to God's word? You know, you may say, I wish to preach the gospel as a pastor or an evangelist. I wish to teach Sunday school. I wish to reach men and women for Christ in a faraway mission field. I wish to write books to lead men to Christ. And if you do these things, faith is the catalyst for such action. Faith is the mover for such action. Your faith is the mover to do those works, for without faith you cannot do these and please God. But can you say that those efforts are greater than exercising your faith in the home with regard to your children? Does God respect faith exercised on a foreign mission field differently than he does faith exercised by a father or a mother in the rearing of children? I've come to the conclusion that he does not think so. He thinks that faith is faith, and he honors faith in the home as well as he honors faith on the foreign mission field. Now, how does a mother's faith show itself in works? It shows itself in works when a mother obeys God's word explicitly in the rearing of her children. It shows itself in works when she, as the lawgiver, gives laws to her children in accord with the commandments of the Father. They work together in that way. It shows itself in works as she submits to her husband as the commandment giver in the home. It shows itself in works when a father brings into the home commandments totally in accord and driven by the Word of God. Fathers, where do you get your commandments from? What are they based upon? Are they based upon the Word of God? You know, so many times we confine faith to what we consider religious things, to what takes place at church, to what takes place on Sunday, but that is the devil's deceit. The devil does not mind you going to church. The devil does not mind you carrying a Bible around, but the devil does mind when what's in that Bible causes you to work, causes you to be a doer of the Word of God. You know, the devil does mind when what's in that Bible directs you in the rearing of your children. How many homes in the United States, in the world, are governed by the Word of God as to the rearing of children? Very few. You know, narrow is the way, and few there be that find it. But don't let that be true in your home. The devil does mind when your faith is put into action in the home. God expects us to take our faith to our homes, to our work, to our recreation. For the just, as it says, shall live by faith. And that is 365, 24, 7. 365, 24, 7. You know, the Bible is very clear that faith pleases God. It says it's impossible to please God, that is your Father, if you're a believer, without faith. For without faith is sin. You know, God's intention is to take out a people for His name. Don't you want to be part of that group? Don't you want to be part of that people? You know, and I believe that that people will come from homes that are led by a father and a mother who have faith to believe God's word in the rearing of their children. This is verified as we study the book of Proverbs, and we see in the book of Proverbs a Proverbs father here in this chapter who is a man of faith and a man who intends for his son to be a man of faith. You know, the greatest thing that you can do is to rear children to be people of the faith. People of the faith. What a wonderful future that could be, to see your family in heaven with you, to see your children, to see your grandchildren in heaven with you because you cared enough to raise them as men and women of faith. He knows God's intention is to take out a people for His name, and this father gets on board God's will in the rearing of his son, for he desires that his son be a part of that people. You know, by knowing God's word in the matter, he knows which way God is going, and he intends to go with him. You know, we have our own plans, do we not? We have our own ideas, we have our own futures in mind, but that may not be the way God is going. You want to find out which way God is going and go with Him. He therefore provides His Son with commandments and law that will continually be bound upon His heart and tied about His neck. Now that's intensive teaching, is it not? It's not leaving the teaching to others. It's intensive teaching in the home. It's having a Bible time with those children. It's having prayer with those children. It's having instruction to those children as they come up. It's noticing what they do and correcting them and rebuking them for that kind of behavior and decision-making and pointing them to the Word of God. And he tells his son what his commandment means to be, for the commandment is a lamp. And the law is light, and reproofs of instruction are the way of life, to keep thee from the evil woman, from the flattery of the tongue of the strange woman. Now look at that. Reproofs of instruction are given to prepare the son for what will come later. Reproofs are a way of life, so we are to get used to it. You know, I remember a lot of reproofs. When I was a child, I didn't like them, especially when they were handed out with the switch. Didn't like them. But how wonderful they are to think about where they led me to be. Preparing for what God says will come later is an act of faith, for God knows the heart of this son, and this father knows the heart of this son. Because this father knows God, and he knows God's word. He knows, now listen, fathers, he knows that the evil woman, the strange woman, is just around the corner of this young man's life. He is preparing his son for the inevitables of life. You know, what goes around comes around. There's nothing new under the sun. The strange woman, the evil woman, is still there to be in the Son's life, and therefore he is preparing the Son for the inevitables of life. If you don't think that this event is inevitable in your Son's life, just look around. It's not hard to find. This father does not live in a dream world of hoping that his Son will not fall, a dream world that does not exist, but lives in the real world where sin desires to do its job on a young man. And only the sword of God will be an effective defense. You know, God calls this book the sword of the Lord. You know, you have to teach your children how to hold and take defense with the sword of the Lord. It doesn't come just naturally. The sword of the Lord will be his effective defense. And this father intends to arm his son with that sword, which will defend against the lust of the flesh. For the wise father knows that the first danger in a young man lies in the flesh. Now, that's the word of God. That's what it tells us here. The flesh is strong in the youth. So this father prepares his son to face the weapon of the evil woman, the strange woman, the woman who will ensnare a young man with flattery. You know, the old saying, flattery will get you everywhere. It used to be flattery will get you nowhere. But today it's flattery will get you everywhere. But flattery is strong. It's a strong weapon of the wicked woman. Flattery is to compliment the complexion as clear when in fact it is blemished. Flattery takes place in the bathroom mirror in the putting on of makeup. Flattery takes that which the heart knows is not right and spins it until it appears right. This Proverbs father intends for the lamp of his commandments and the light of his mother's law to prepare the son for the inevitables of this life. Remember that what goes around comes around. What has been done in the past will be done today and will be done in the future. And your son and your daughter are human beings with the sinful nature, and the flesh governs so much in youth. He explains here that one of the purposes of commandment and law is concerning what takes place in a son's heart as he grows to manhood. Time marches on, and time will bring manhood. This is one of the inevitables of life that this father prepares for. So getting a son ready to keep him from the evil woman, to keep him from the strange woman, starts early in the son's life. So this is a teaching in separation. What to separate from, what to join in, what to separate from. And this is not a wait until he is in his teenage years instruction. It is not so much as even thinking about the evil woman or saying anything about the evil woman, but it is about giving him the tools to keep him from anything evil, including the strange woman. You know, as I said, have you given your children, or are you giving your children the tools to keep them from the evil woman or from the evil? And the sword of the Lord, the most wonderful tool in their toolbox. It is about equipping his son with the character it will take to keep him from anything evil. So flattery, then, is mentioned first here, for flattery is a powerful weapon amongst the evil, for it caters to the deceitful heart. You know, if you can figure out how to cater to the deceitful heart, you can sell anything. Now, the natural man desires flattery to puff him up. To flatter another is to make smooth. Think about that word flattery. It has the word flat in it. What's flat? To make smooth, to soothe, to appease, to take out the kinks, to extend, to strain, to stretch. Flattery means to smooth out the bumps. You know, we have a lot of bumps in our lives, do we not? We have bumps all over the place, and flattery desires to smooth out the bumps. Flattery means to flatten that which is not flat. It is to make something appear smooth that is not smooth. Demagogues use flattery to gain power and favor. The spin of the politicians is flattery to gain votes. How many times have you been told you're wonderful by the politicians? Now, not everybody is wonderful. You know people that aren't wonderful. And to call them wonderful is flattery. Giving passing grades when failing grades were earned is flattery. To perhaps gain favor from parents. Trying to raise self-esteem in another without concrete achievement is flattery. We see that on the ball fields all the time. How many major league players do we have in T-ball? Everyone is going to be a major league player, according to the parents and according to the flatterers. Flattery is puffing up greater that which a person has already puffed up in his own heart. You know, we self-flatter, do we not? We look into the mirror and say, "Oh, mirror, mirror, on the wall, who is the fairest of us all?" And we say, "Me, me, me," as we smile at ourselves. Flattery is fanning the flames of self-love. It is playing on the pride that a person already has, so the person will have more pride and will like you for helping him have more pride. For the prideful are proud of their pride. Now, what will keep the sun from this? What will provide a hedge around the heart of the sun to prevent flattery from the evil woman from doing its job? Boy, there has to be some defenses. There has to be some fences put around the sun's heart because that flattery is so powerful from the evil person. Now, the lamp of the commandments and the light of the law based upon the word of God that were provided through the reproofs that he was given in the home will provide the needed hedge. You know, today with this positive living movement, there are no such things as reproofs in the home. Well, the results of that will show in time. The Bible says reproofs are a way of life. Reproofs are a way of life. And here we're told that they will provide the needed hedge. The lamp and the light will provide the son with that which will allow him to discern flattering lips, for an eventuality of his life is to hear flattering lips. For flattering lips cater to a heart that does not know it is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. You know, that's such a detestful verse to the world. To say to someone who is not a believer in the Word of God that your heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked is so hateful to the positive person that says everything is positive and nothing is negative. But that's what my Bible says. And it tells me that I have problems, that I have trouble with my nature. It tells me that I can fall, that I can fail. But the Word of God comes along and says, here is a light, here is a lamp. Take these, take the lamp, take the light to walk in the way that I have chosen for you. but flattering lips. Look for a heart that thinks of itself more highly than it ought. What does the Bible say about that? We're not to think more highly of ourselves than we ought. You know, if you think all day about yourself, you know, it's amazing. You can go on Facebook and you can go to the person's home page and go down and scroll down those home pages, and you can find that that person may think more highly than they ought just by looking at their home page. I've seen home pages where every posting is a picture of self, a smiling face, a made-up face, a quizzical face, a happy face, never a sad face, but it's all about self because they think more highly than they ought. But flattery fans the flames of self-love. Oh, how we love ourselves, and flattery just makes those flames go hotter. And self-love is realized in a child who does not learn the way of reproof. Correction in the home, telling the child, this is not right. Do this instead, according to the Word of God. You know, you have a responsibility to hone a creature that comes into the world, that you've brought into the world, that's not finished. Your home is to be a finishing school so that you can present that child to God as one who can be conformed to the image of Christ. That's your responsibility, parent, and it takes the way of reproof. Without reproof as a way of life, self-love is always built up. Self-love is that which is always encouraged in one who is left to himself, for self-study always results in a wrong view of oneself. You know, if you look into your own heart from your own mind without the lamp of the Word of God, you'll always come to the conclusion of loving yourself and thinking more highly of yourself. Only Bible study will reveal to you what you are, and you are for certain what God says you are. For all have sinned and come short. That means you don't make it. You know, it's like a chasm. I think I'll jump across this chasm. How far is it? Oh, it's only 20 feet, but all you can jump is 18 feet. Now, that was pretty good. 18 feet's pretty good, but you know you're still lying at the bottom of the chasm. You came short. You didn't make it. All you needed was 2 feet, but you didn't have the 2 feet. So Bible study reveals what you are, and it reveals to you that you are poor and that you are needy. You are poor in need of the riches and the light of God. But the evil woman, that strange woman with her flattering tongue, disagrees with what God says. How'd you like to disagree with what God says and stand before the throne of God and say, I disagree? And he says, depart from me. I never knew you. And that departure lands you in the lake of fire, apart from all the wonderful riches and light of God. So the commandments and law given in the home are to meet the inevitables of this life. They will keep the son from the evil woman, and they will provide him with a right view of himself to combat the view that the evil woman brings. For flattery will have no power on a man who sees himself as God sees him. I copied this verse from this song. When Satan tempts, you know, he's in that business, isn't he? That's his main business. What's the mission of Satan? Tempting. Tempting. When Satan tempts and doubts and fears assail, look to what? The Lamb of God. You in his strength shall over all prevail. Look to what? the Lamb of God. You know, that one who says that, look to the Lamb of God, could be a parent to the child, training that child who is tempted, have doubts and has fears, and they overcome, and the parent says, look to the Lamb of God. That's the way of life in the home, always looking to the Lamb of God, always depending upon Him to bring you through the temptations of Satan and the flattery of the evil woman. Father, we thank you so much for your word. How much we need the word of God. We need it more than anything in this world. It is more valuable, all the gold and all the silver, all the diamonds, all the rubies of this world, which we want in our treasure house. But Lord, help us to want the word of God, and help these parents and these future parents to take this word and to incorporate it into the home, that the son, the daughter, will know how to defeat temptation and live according to the way of life. We ask this in Jesus' holy name, and do bless our pastors this morning and this evening. In Jesus' name, amen.